We appreciate the music. I love good music. I can't sing too well, and I don't want anybody to say amen. That's not the place to say amen right there. But I still enjoy good music. And I'm going to sing every now and then. Or you enjoy it or not, because I enjoy the singing about Jesus. Amen. Turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Starting at verse 1. Matthew 24. Verse 1. Page 1032 in your old Schofield Reference Bible. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. In the last days, that's a good admonition that fell from the lips of our Savior. In this days of so much religious deception, the Lord says, Don't be careful. Don't let anybody deceive you. And the only way you can keep from being deceived is judge and be judged by the Word of God. I don't know of any other way to keep from being deceived. It's not by their personalities or by their crowds or by their experiences. You can get deceived by all of that. But you can't get deceived if you'll stick by the book. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Let's bow our heads, please. And we do have some special prayer requests that are handed to me up here. Pray for the families of the two teens that were killed last night in that tragic accident in Kingsport. Also Russell Fritz in the ICU, and I assume in Kingsport. And then pray for Willard Hensley in Medical Center. So let's pray for these and others that on your heart, and pray that God will bless His word as it goes out. Let's pray. Father, we do pray for these special requests. I pray for the families, Lord, of these two teenagers in this tragic accident last night. Pray you'll comfort those families and minister to them by thy Spirit. May they look to thee during this time. And then, Lord, for Mr. Fritz and Mr. Hensley, Lord, in Johnson City and Kingsport Hospitals, and Lord, this other man that was mentioned to me that here in the service last Sunday, visiting with the Jacksons down here, Mr. Ely, or Lord, you know all about him. Pray you'd touch him, Lord, up there in the hospital right now. And then, Lord, bless thy word to our hearts today. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, this will not just be another service, but somehow that eternal verities will grasp us today. And we'll see ourselves as being in the presence of a holy God. And we'll be searched by the Word and by the Spirit of God using the Word today. And Lord, help me now as I preach, and give me power. And may Jesus be exalted. And may men have their thoughts turned toward God, toward heaven, and toward Jesus today. And bless everything that goes on right now all over these grounds. And make it easy for people to come down this aisle to Jesus and to a dedicated life. And Lord, when the invitation is given, have your way. Now, Lord, help me, anoint me as I preach, and defeat the devil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Now, there are many places in God's Word where the Lord shook this earth with an earthquake. Number of earthquakes mentioned in the Old Testament. And then a number of earthquakes mentioned in the New Testament. There's an unusual earthquake connected with the cross of Christ in Matthew 27, when Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross. Immediately, God shook this earth, and especially the area around Jerusalem, with a mighty earthquake. And when he did, the veil of the temple rent in twain. I'm glad that temple was rent. That veil was rent, aren't you? That means now we don't go into the presence through a man with his collar turned backwards. We go into the presence of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We who are saved can go right into God's presence. And that was a great day when Jesus died and the veil was rent, signifying sinful man who can come to Jesus and then have access into the presence of the Holy God. And then also, when this mighty earthquake came, when Jesus gave up the ghost, the Bible says the graves of the saints there outside the city were opened, and many of the saints got up and just went home. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, some of their loved ones, all of a sudden they appeared and went back into the city. That was Jesus, and these were the first fruits of the resurrection, of our resurrection. And then 3 days later, God got back in the earthquake business on that first Easter morning in Matthew 28:2. He shook the earth again with another great earthquake, signifying another momentous event, that Christ had been raised victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Romans 4:25 says he was delivered for our offenses. And when he did, God shook the earth to let this earth know that something momentous was taking place when Jesus hung between heaven and hell. And then when Jesus was raised by the power of God on that third day before dawn, God shook the earth again to let the earth know something else was great, momentous was taking place. And Romans 4:25 says he was raised for our justification. And then every junior boy and girl knows of the earthquake in Acts 16 in the jailhouse where Paul and Silas were praying at midnight. God shook the earth there, and this earthquake led to the conversion of the Philippian jailer. But God's word says two of the greatest earthquakes the earth has ever seen are right out there on ahead of us in the tribulation period. In Revelation 6, verse 12, early in the tribulation, when the six seals are open, when that sixth seal is open, the earth will, God will shake this earth with a great earthquake. And when this earthquake takes place, God's word says the sun will be darkened, and the moon will turn as blood, and then the stars will come unglued from their sockets up in the sky. And the Bible says heaven will depart as a scroll, and people will run, and every mountain and island will move out of their place, and people will run to the rocks and the mountains and the caves and say, fall on us to hide us from the face and from him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now that'll be in the first part of the tribulation period. And then in the latter part of the tribulation period, the Word of God says there will be the greatest earthquake the world has ever seen in Revelation the 16th chapter, verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. When this earth takes place in the tribulation, but I'm glad I've got my ticket punched and I'll be going out before all this takes place. If you're saved, you will be too, whether you know it or not, whether you realize it or not. But all the nations, the cities, the great cities of the world will be destroyed at this time. And then great Babylon, the great political worldwide system at this time will fall. And then verse 20, and every island fled away. The islands will disappear in the sea, many of them at this time. And the mountains were not found. It'll level the mountains. And people ask me, preacher, you think that the earthquake we had last week will cause people to turn to God? I doubt it. Maybe there might be an isolated instance or two where somebody might get saved through that earthquake last week. But look what happened when the greatest earthquake the world's ever seen, listen to what happened to the people on this earth. And there fell upon men a great hail. God will also rain hailballs down out of heaven upon them. And every stone weighed about a weight of a talent, over 100 pounds. And then did they turn to God? Well, that's what we saw last week will be child's play. What'll happen right here? No, they didn't. And men blaspheme God. That's the answer. Very few will turn to God through the earthquake. I thank God for everyone that does, that turns to God last week. But the earthquake that we're interested in right now is that's on our mind is the earthquake that happened this past Tuesday night out in Northern California, about 8:10 our time, 5:10 out on Pacific Coast time. The epicenter of the earthquake was on the San Andreas Fault there, about 50 miles southeast of San Francisco. It registered, as you know all this, you've heard all this. It registered 6.9 on the Richter scale, second deadliest our country has seen. That's one paper quoting from a newspaper that I read. And an interesting thing about it, that earthquake that we saw last Tuesday night is 10,000 times more powerful than the first bomb we dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That shows you the power of what happened out there last Tuesday night. And millions across America were getting ready to watch the World Series, and they were piling in the out in Candlestick Park. 60,000 fans were there waiting for Game 3 of the World Series, and God shook that stadium and scared the liver out of them. It would have scared me too if I'd have been there. And I thought, what in the world is going on around here? I mean, we just had a light tremor when we were there one time when we were started a revival. Just felt it just a little bit, and it's an eerie thing. And they shook the stadium, and they were forced to evacuate the stadium. And they're all over Northern California, especially in San Francisco. Buildings collapsed, gas lines burst, and flames started all over the area, and glass was flying everywhere, causing by the buildings moving. And a large section of the Interstate 880 collapsed, and it was the highway was right over the other one and went down and just crushed the cars like a pancake under them there. And over 200 people were killed and thousands, and you know the statistics on that. One man said it was like a horror movie. He said people were screaming and running out into the streets. And some of those who lost their loved ones or had their homes destroyed had all kinds of questions that they asked. Why did it have to happen to me? What did I do to deserve this? Why this? And certainly, people, that's normal to ask questions like that. But why is a question that really no one can answer. Why did this earthquake happen? Now, I don't know the answer for this earthquake that hit San Francisco, but I believe there's some possible answers. And I want to give you some possible answers this morning. Well, now, the first answer is, I think, an adequate answer, but it's not completely adequate. The first answer, from a naturalistic standpoint, there is a natural explanation, because down in on the surface of this earth, there's rock formations, and these rocks on the surface of the earth are constantly being squeezed and stretched by a tremendous heat, about 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit, about 100 miles down in the earth, and that heat is constantly causing the rocks to expand and strain, and sometimes because of the great strain and the great pressure of the heat and everything, there's just a rupture and it causes an earthquake. Now, that is the natural explanation of what happened out in California last Tuesday night. And scientists had been warning for years that along that San Andreas Fault, running 600 miles up the coast of California, that it was just like a time bomb waiting to go off. And they've been saying for years that it's ripe for some tremendous earthquake. And most earthquake faults are in the heart of the earth, but some are on the surface of the earth and are visible, like the San Andreas Fault out in California. In fact, some scientists are saying a great earthquake could hit that fault and California could just go right over in the Pacific Ocean. And so that is There is a natural explanation because of the rock formations being under such tremendous pressure from the heat in the earth. But that to the unregenerate, unsaved mind, the earthquake was just an unfortunate accident peculiar to nature from time to time. But to the saved, those of us who know God and know God through the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that God's in control of nature. And He has a purpose for everything He does. God has a purpose. And so there are some possible reasons. Now, no man knows the mind of God. But I believe there are some possible reasons for this earthquake other than a naturalistic explanation if we look at it from a divine standpoint. I think that some are saying that this was a judgment of God on an area rampant with homosexuals, or just plain queers, or if I can find a word that would be permissible in this mixed group to use, I would use it. But it has been estimated about a third of San Francisco is either gay or lesbian. Listen to what God has to say about the queers. Romans 1, 26 and 27. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. God says it's vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, lesbianism. And likewise also the men, homosexuals, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. Now listen to what God's attitude toward this perversion is, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, or which was just. Now, God makes it crystal clear here in other passages in the Word of God that homosexuality and lesbianism is those lifestyles are contrary to the will of God and the Word of God, and they bring His judgment. That's clearly taught in the Word of God. Homosexuality is not simply a sexual preference or a sexual different sexual orientation. It's sin. It's sin. And folks, it's an abomination in the sight of God. And the Word of God says in Leviticus 20, verse 13, it's an abomination in God's sight. And the punishment in the Old Testament for homosexuality was death. I was reading in the Bible Baptist Tribune this week. The editor of this paper said that 14 of the first 15 Roman emperors were homosexuals. And Nero married a man and he called him his husband. And perversion was one of the factors that led to the destruction of the Roman Empire. God, we know from His Word, wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah for their homosexuality. He rained fire and brimstone down upon those cities. And homosexuality rampant in the San Francisco area could have been why San Francisco was hit so hard with this earthquake last Tuesday night. I know this, God judges homosexuality and immorality too, as far as that's concerned. Then also another reason possible, and I'm saying possible reason because I don't know, but I know God hates sin. I know that. And God judges sin. I know that. Then also another possible reason is that Americans have made a god out of sports. And He showed millions of sports fans as they were getting ready to watch the World Series last Tuesday night just how insignificant a game of baseball was when He started shaking the earth and streets would crack open and highways would collapse and buildings would topple and people dying on every hand and injured by the hundreds. He showed America and the world just how insignificant a game of baseball was. And it happened just as the two teams, Oakland and San Francisco, were warming up for the game. And the game was called off, and the dazed fans marched out. The players interviewed. They said, "Well, it's hard to get your mind on baseball in the midst of suffering and destruction and mourning." Now, there's nothing wrong with sports in themselves. You know that I believe sports in themselves, nothing, no sin in themselves. It is only, folks, when we make a God out of sports and we put them ahead of church and ahead of Christ, only then does it become sin. Now, I love sports. I offer my sympathies to all of you Tennessee Vol fans who are wearing black and in mourning today. My sympathy goes out to you. My flag's about half mast too. But you know what? I'm glad my parents wouldn't let me play ball on Sunday. I'm glad my parents wouldn't let me hunt on Sunday. My dad go hunting on Saturday night, he'd start back in at 12 o'clock midnight. He wouldn't hunt on Sunday. He wouldn't let me fish on Sunday. He wouldn't let me go swimming on Sunday. And he believed you ought to keep the Lord's day holy. And I think my father was right. I think he was right. And folks, we need to keep the Lord's day holy. You know why you ought to keep the Lord's day holy? Because folks, we need to have a God consciousness to come over us. Did you know that? And when we just make the Lord's day just like any other day, or make it a holiday, we lose something. We lose something. We ought to respect and revere and keep the Lord's day holy. And also, I'm glad my parents, I was captain of the football team. 1 mile from where I live, we played at my high school. My folks never did come in to see me play one time. Not one time. I played against Alabama about 150 miles down the road from where I live there at Saudi. My folks didn't come see me play. My dad would say, "Son," he said, "I'm proud of you." But he said, "I don't have any business at a ball game." Now, naturally, I love my father, and I would have been there if it had been my children. But my father didn't go. And I never did get mad or think he didn't care anything about it. I knew my father loved me. But that, you know what? The attitude my parents had helped me to keep sports in the proper perspective. And I'm glad of that. Serving the Lord was the most important thing to my parents, and not sports. And folks, there's a danger that we will promote sports to our kids so much that sports will be more important in the minds of our kids than serving Jesus Christ. And it's wrong when we have that attitude toward sports. So that could be a possible. I don't know. Then another possible reason, and I think this could be a very good reason for the earthquake that shook San Francisco and California. It could be fulfilled prophecy. Turn back to the scripture I read at the beginning of the message in Matthew 24. Look at the question in verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, now notice the three questions they asked the Lord. Said, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And then, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, I'm not going to, that's a prophetic, or as my dear preacher friend, Brother Thomas says, that's a pathetical message in itself. That's a prophetical message in itself, those three questions there. But that's a question they asked Jesus about the sign of his coming and the end of the world. Then Jesus gave the answer in verses 5 through 7, let's quickly look at some of the answers Jesus gave to what would be a sign of his coming and of the end of the world. In verse 5, in false Christ, many people in the last days will come saying, "I am Christ," and shall deceive many. And false Christ are everywhere around the world this morning, saying, "I am Christ," and deceiving many. We could say that is happening today, and it could be one of the signs of the soon return of Christ. And then in verse 6, we see that wars, and then verse 7, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, one of the signs of the soon coming of Christ and the end of the world. And you can take the globe this morning and you can twirl the globe and put your finger almost on any spot of the globe, and there's armed conflict going on, or the threat of armed conflict right now. All over the globe, wars are either in progress or they're being threatened at any minute. And then notice another, in verse 7, another possible sign of the Lord's return and the end of the world is famines. One half of the world goes to bed hungry every night. Famines are right now going on around this world. We can't even realize that. Here we are with all of our plenty, and there's people starving to death around the world. And this famines in the last day will be a sign of the coming of the Lord. And then another sign of His coming and the end of the world, Jesus said, would be pestilences. I'm just thinking this morning, my father always had a good garden, and he never put any bug dust or insecticide on his garden. Well, you couldn't have one today, hard of that. There's no way. I sprayed my fruit trees a number of times this year and still had some worms in them, in the apples. And so my dad, just every now and then we'd get a bag and go out and knock some potato bugs off. That's about all we'd do, and had a beautiful garden. You couldn't hardly exist today like that. And then in the line of pestilence, in the last 5 to 6 years, the incurable disease of AIDS has swept the globe. People, and there's no cure for it. There's no cure for it. Just like the common cold, it's a virus type of disease, and there's never been a cure come up with for the common cold, and it seems like there'll never be a cure for AIDS. Some people ask me if I believe that AIDS is a judgment of God. Certainly I do, because that is a result of sin. I realize some innocent people get AIDS, but it's as a result of God's judgment on sin. God says in His Word in Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You reap when you sin, God says. Their sin has a price tag. Never, never forget that, folks. Sin has a price tag. You can't get by with sin. There's a God in heaven who will not let us get by with sin. And then, here's what I'm getting to now in verse 7. And one of the signs of the coming of the Lord and the end of the world, Jesus said this now, would be earthquakes in divers or different places. Our thoughts were certainly on Northern California this week. But did you know that in Italy and China, they had some devastating earthquakes in those areas? I was shocked to realize last year in California there were 4,000 earthquakes. And there's been 2,000 aftershocks from the earthquake in California this week. Isn't that fantastic? And I read this morning in the World Book that there are 1 million earthquakes in the world each year. That's fantastic. So these earthquakes in California and in other areas could be a sign we're in the last days before the rapture and the beginning of sorrows. That could be a possible answer to what the earthquake last week. It is a sign of the soon coming of Christ. Then the earthquake last week, last Tuesday, could be God speaking to America. He could be trying to get our attention. Sometimes it takes a tragedy before we will listen to the call of God. He hit the East Coast a few days ago with Hugo, and with 100 mile an hour plus winds and 20 to 30 foot waves slamming into the coast and leaving a path of destruction. And then this week he hits the West Coast with an earthquake of proportion 6.9 on the Richter scale, and followed it with 2,000 quakes and aftershocks this week. Is God trying to say something to America, to sinful America, who's murdering 1.5 million babies a year? Our land rampant with homosexuality and adultery and drunkenness and drugs. Is God trying to speak to us? Is God trying to stop our mad rush into sin and to hell? I believe God is trying to speak to America. Is He trying to say something to our churches? Our churches across America are in such sad shape. Our churches are dead. They're cold. They're compromising. They're worldly. Our churches are full of the world and carnality. No power with God. As 2 Timothy 3:5 says, in the last days, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, God's word says. So God could be trying to get our attention. Listen to what God has to say in His word in Proverbs, the first chapter. Verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Now listen, because I have called, and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. God says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? God says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. If God is speaking to you this morning, folks, don't turn a deaf ear. In America and at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, folks, we need to listen to the voice of God. It is a dangerous thing for God to speak to man and man ignore a holy God. He said, if you do, I will laugh when your calamity comes. He said, if you won't listen to me, one day you'll call. And he said, I'll have a deaf ear. I will not answer. And if God is speaking to you this morning, don't quench His blessed Holy Spirit. Come on to Jesus, or come on and get saved, or come on and get right with God. Get right with the Holy God. As the Word of God says, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Christian, if you're not right with God, you ought to come to this altar and get your soul in tune with God before you leave here. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around for just a moment. No one looking around for just a moment, please. And I hope that you'll let God speak to your heart. Christian, God is trying to get your attention. He wants you to serve Him and live for Him. He wants you to be totally dedicated to His will. Don't wait till calamity comes before you let God speak to your heart, before you respond to the call of God. An unsaved person, maybe God has called you many times and He's spoken to you many times. One day, He'll call for the last time. You ought to come today. If that tug is at your heart's door to get saved and get right with God, you ought to run down these aisles to Jesus before you leave here. Not leave here without God, without making things right with heaven today. Folks, God spoke strongly to America this week. Are we going to respond? God help you to do it this morning. How many of you have saved, preacher? God has spoken to my heart this morning. I know that I'm not saved. I know if I die right now, I don't have that assurance of heaven. Or maybe you're a Christian. You say, preacher, I am saved, but I'm not in the will of God. I'm walking far from God. Christian, if you are saved and out of the will of God, God is going to have to use some stern measures to get you back in the will of God. You ought to run to this altar and get right with God today if you're a child of God out of the will of God. And if God's speaking to your heart today, listen to the call of God. How many would say, preacher, pray for me. There's a spiritual need in my life. God is dealing with me. There's a need in my life. Pray for me. All over the house. Let me pray for you this morning. Just slip your hand right up. Right up. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Folks, let's let God speak to us. And then let's respond to His call today. Anyone else? Anyone else? For these two adults, let's raise their hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Young people, let God speak to you. Let God, the only way you're going to keep your life from being ravaged by sin is to live for Jesus Christ. The only hope you have in this day is Jesus. Anyone else? Let me pray for you with these two that's raised their hand. Anyone else? Right quick. I believe the Lord laid that message on my heart. I believe it's for somebody here today. Anyone else? Preacher, pray for me. Anyone else? Preacher, pray for me. God is speaking to my heart. I am not saved, or I'm not right with the Lord God of heaven this morning. Or I'm saved, but I'm out of the will of God. Pray for me. Anyone else? Or I have a need, a special need. Pray for me. Anyone else? Fixing to pray. Anyone else? Lift your hand right up. Father, we thank you today for this privilege of coming to thee in prayer. And Lord, I've tried to preach what you've laid on my heart today. I've tried to preach the truth. Lord, may all of us, including this preacher, Lord, I don't want to miss, Lord, when you speak to my heart. Help me to be, Lord, alert to the moving and the voice of God to my heart and life. Help me, God. Would you do it? And I pray for every one of our dear members and friends here today that's visiting with us. Lord, give them an alertness to the moving of God's Spirit upon their heart and life. May we not miss when God's dealing with us. Lord, help us to be responsive and be willing to do the will of God. And I pray for everyone in this building, those that are not saved, those that are not right with you. Lord, there's some of our members that's following afar off, God. Their lives are not being used for the Lord. There's some of our young people following afar off, God. Help them to come this morning, get on the altar and get things right with thee. For these that raise the hands, you know the needs. Would you meet these needs, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brother Gary, let's sing softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, if we may. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. And that is the way He's calling to us. He speaks in a still, small voice. He's speaking to you. In your soul, God has so equipped you that you have a little receiving unit in your soul that God uses to speak to you. And if He's troubling your soul, if He's giving you a desire to get right with heaven, to come to know Jesus, to be surrendered to the Lord, be surrendered to the will of God for your life, you ought to respond. And don't throw a wet blanket over your soul when God speaks to you. If He's speaking, come on. Come to this altar for prayer. If you want to get saved or rededicate your life or join the church, come on right now. Let's let God have His way in our life. Let's stand. What number?
280.
Let's stand and we'll sing. I'll be standing right here. You come on right now. If you need to come, if God's speaking to you, come on.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home. For you and for me.
let's bow our heads, every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to have the choir to sing another verse in just a moment. I have delivered my soul. I've delivered my soul. I've delivered my soul. I've preached to you what I thought to be the truth of God's Word. As God's laid it on my heart. Others of y'all to come if God is speaking to you. Do business with the Holy God. Have the choir sing another verse. Won't you come? This other one, this dear lady came just now. Others of you, come on. As the choir sings, won't you come? Just slip out from where you're sitting. Stand. Speak to your heart. Let Jesus speak to your heart and you respond to the call of heaven. He's calling. Will you respond? If you will, he'll bless you. If you don't, neighbor, you're going to be without the blessing of God in your life. You're going to be walking far from God. This way, we're going to sing another verse in just a moment. I sort of feel that maybe the Lord is doing something special and deep in the life of people today. God wants to get right down to where you live. And the Lord wants to come in and change your life and affect your life. If you come and get on the altar and turn everything over to the Lord completely, say, Lord, I want your will for my life, whatever it is. Listen, there'll be some changes made. There'll be some changes made. The Lord can make a difference in your life. Let's sing one other verse. This will be the last verse if no one comes. Come on.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Softly, and you may be seated while we keep playing softly.